Blog Talk Radio. General quarters. Security condition 3. GQ.
Security 3, sir. General quarters 3. Intruder alert. GQ 3. Intruder alert.
All right, hep cats, hep kittens, swingers, lords and ladies, and everybody out there. This is your host, your groove mistress, spiritual director, and personal advisor, Madam Perry. I am so happy to be here. Sorry about the little wackadoodle technical things. Who knows what it is? It could be, God hope it's not a virus. It could be, I don't know, certainly not sabotage from another podcast, because we podcasters all support each other. We like to help each other. So it's not that. It's not that. Now, here is what can happen. Sometimes things just don't start the way they're supposed to, even though tonight is my 301st episode of Madam Perry Salon. You know, it began as a blog, and one of the first guests after being on, because, you know, I wanted it to be a conversation like people, patronesses of the arts from centuries past in Europe and Asia and England that would have different artists, musicians, writers, thought leaders come to their home once a week for a salon and have an exchange of ideas. And this was my way of doing it in cyberspace. And one of my first guests, Robert Leland Taylor, hilarious writer, very, very, if you like Kurt Vonnegut, you'll like Robert Leland Taylor. He went back and reported everywhere. I've been to Madam Perry Salon. It's like the inside of Jeannie's bottle. And after that, everybody knew where they were. And just to find a nice cushy pillow. a nice cushy pillow and sit down and relax and enjoy themselves, okay? So this is where we are, and as I said, the captain is docking his airship outside, and it's going to be in just a minute. By the way, I want to thank everybody that's been subscribing, that's been sharing, that's been following. Thank you so much. You make it possible for me to continue to have fantastic guests on like we've got lately, coming up soon, and of course tonight. And I thank you so much for that, because yeah, make the magic happen. Now, I told you the very special guest. You know, I usually give a big build up, get the name at last, but everybody's been messaging me. They're so excited about tonight's show, as am I. This is a guest I've been trying to get on for almost 3 years, for Pete's sake, and he's just been. Not snobby, just busy. So you know him as a singer from the Cog, the leader, the musician, lead singer for The Cog Is Dead. Magnificent band. Got to see John Sprocket live. I'm going to call them all in here right now. He's pushing the doorbell, coming on in. Captain John Sprocket. Are you with me, sir? All right. I think it just gets crazier and crazier around here right now. Okay. The captain should be here. I know he's coming in. Maybe Mr. Sulu, my doorman, stopped somewhere. I think that's what happened. But you know what? I've got another friend of mine that's already here, that's already docked his own airship and come on in, and I'm going to say hello, James. Okay, right now I don't know if anyone can hear me. Hi, are you there? Somebody calling from 864?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Who is this?
Oh,
Callie. Hey, who is this?
Hi.
Who?
My name is Callie.
Callie. Oh, okay, Callie. I'm sorry. I thought... Oh, all these numbers get me all confused. And you know, if is this your first time here in the Jeannie bottle?
Yes.
Well, no wonder. It's a little dim here. I couldn't really make you out behind the beaded curtains. I'm so sorry. Would you mind coming in and just taking a comfortable cushion to sit on?
Yeah, sure. Is it okay if my fiance joins me?
Yeah, I'd like to.
Of course. Is he well trained?
Are you?
I can be.
Okay. That's okay. Don't be too well trained now. And your name, sir, is?
Joshua.
Joshua. Joshua and Kelly, welcome to Madame Perry's Salon. Get some cushy places to sit. I don't know if you brought any snacks. If you do, I hope you got enough to share. So are you fans of Captain John Sprocket and The Cog is Dead?
Big fans.
Big fans of both him and a band that is very similar to his, Steam Power Giraffe. So, yes.
Yes. Will you guys by any chance at Wild West Con this year?
Unfortunately not.
Oh, yeah. Too bad. That was a great show. Well, let's see. I think, like I said, you know, I don't know a lot about airships and stuff, right? And so let me see. Have you ever been to Wild West Con?
No.
Sadly.
No. Okay. Where do you live?
We live in South Carolina.
I'm from Oklahoma.
But she lives in South Carolina too, though.
Okay. Yeah, I got people in South Carolina. I'm not sure if I've got maybe steampunk friends in Oklahoma. Okay. Well, you know what? Let's see if we can get the mighty airship Captain John Sprocket in. And thank you so much for being here to make him feel very welcome.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring him in right now. Let's see.
Hello.
I think welcome to Madame Perry Salon, Captain Sprocket.
Hello. Looks like we finally got through.
Finally, yes. I am so sorry for all the issues here. I really am. We are so.
That's just the fact of living in this infernal digital age. Horrifying. But I think we've managed to make it through. So it's wonderful to be here.
Oh, good. Thank you. Well, you know, I can see you through the glass here in the genie bottle. I can see the airship circling and trying to land. And I got to tell you, and this is not a complaint, but you had some fans that were already in line here for you. So, I figured that would make you feel good if you could see them already. And actually, I just figured, you know, you're a man, you're a captain who was a man of the people, and that you would welcome them here. And I wanted to, so I went ahead and pulled the velvet rope up, Captain Sprocket, and let them in. And this is Callie and Joshua. They came early.
Oh, hello, how's it going?
Going good.
Awesome.
Good. Yay. To hear.
Okay, so you guys stay here, be comfy, and I am going to chat with, now for just a moment, I'm going to turn your mics, I'm going to mute you guys, Callie and Joshua, just for a few minutes so that I can get Captain Sprocket introduced to everyone, and then bring you back for conversation and questions, and I'm just very happy to have you here. Captain
okay.
John Sprocket.
Yes, indeed. Hello. Is the sound coming through all right? Can you hear me okay, or are we having more issues? I believe you may have muted yourself. I can't hear a thing on my end.
Doggone it, you're a damn genius as well as a captain. Thank you.
No problem. Good.
See,
to hear your voice.
This is the thing. I don't really drink, but Tobias is to blame because he kept shoving stuff in front of me. A few weeks ago. And you know what? The thing is, that seemed like the last big hurrah. It was so exciting to see you live. You came in without the band. You came in solo. You opened up the show, the concert Saturday night at Wild West Con. You came, you delivered, you socked it to us, you tore up the stage, and still left us satisfied but wanting more. And that was so cool to finally see you in person.
Thank you. It was so exciting to be there. I love Wild Wild West Con. I'm sad that was the last event for a while that I'll get to do. But at the same time, it was kind of nice that it was one of my favorite events to go to. So it was nice to be there and be reunited with so many people. Because that's the fifth time personally that I've been there. We've been there three times with the band. But yeah, that was one of the fun times.
3. Well, yeah, because, you know, you were, as I understand, you were demanded, the people, we demanded you, and so they listened and got you, and that was great. Yeah, that was my third time in a row. The wonderful James Breen and James Spring both were bent up to me for years, and then they finally said, why don't you come put together a panel, and then I did that. And this year we also did one, but James Spring and I also did a live broadcast one night with his podcast and mine. Now, the other thing, yeah, you know, we know you with the Cog is Dead, and we know you can deliver it all solo, but you're also well known as a voice actor, voiceover actor, regular film, television actor, and producer.
Yeah, I've done a few things. Voiceover is the thing I do most when I'm not doing the music.
Yeah, a few things? Yeah, okay. That's what I'm thinking. You're probably using this time just to, I don't know, breathe or maybe find 25 more things to do. I'm not really sure.
Somewhat, yeah. It's I'm hoping to take advantage of this time to catch up on some projects that I didn't have time for before. I have a lot of unfinished songs, and I'm also probably going to start. I am going to start doing a live video streaming series on YouTube, where possibly once a week. I don't have it quite figured out yet, but I'll probably start up next week, where I'll do a live video stream and I'll play some music live on YouTube and chat with the audience.
Yay!
So it'll be nice
that
to
will be.
Do that.
That will be great. Oh, yeah, we'll definitely looking forward to mention that again toward the end so that we'll all remember. You don't mind if I promote that, too, and share it on all my social media?
No, not at all, by all means.
All right.
Thank
well,
you.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I just said thank you.
I'll be happy to. Yeah, so James Breen and James Springer, they are the wonderful people that introduced me to this world. And once I went in, that was it. I was in whole hog. And that weekend, yeah, you're right. It was like the last time a lot of us were doing anything. We were there having a good time, everybody enjoying each other and the whole situation and all the fun. And my husband was at a playing guitar for a band at a party, and a lot of our friends were there celebrating. And somebody, I think it was somebody who was in Tucson that weekend, posted on, I think maybe on Facebook, saying, little did we know when we left that as we turned our clocks forward that night, we were going forward from Wild West Con into the apocalypse. We had no idea.
Yeah, really. It's been crazy.
It has been. It's just like we didn't know. We left, and then there we were. Hey, you know what? Also, real quick, want to say, speaking of Wild West Con, I want to give a couple of birthday shout-outs. One to Victor Gasly, Matthew Victor Rogers. Some people know him as Victor and the Bully. He's in London, but he's a fantastic steampunk band, Victor and the Bully. And also, very fabulous lady whom we both know, who really brings the sparkle and the magic to everything she does, Madame Askew. Her birthday was yesterday. So happy birthday to Madame Askew.
Awesome.
And
you know, Victor and the Bully. Oh, do you have any more? I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's my list.
I was just going to mention. I know I'm hoping at some point to do a collaboration with Victor and the Bully. We've been in talks, and that may happen. I don't know exactly when now, schedule wise, but they're a very cool group. And anyway, just randomly mentioning that while I was thinking of it.
Hey, can I say you heard it here first?
That is the first that's been mentioned anywhere, so sure.
Okay, all right. You heard it here first, people. Thank you. That makes me look pretty hip. So, pretty steam hip. So, anyway, yeah, that's great. So, we'll have something else to look forward to. And, so even though we all seem real quarantined, isolated, I reposted something on Instagram where somebody said, yeah, it's like Vegas here, losing money by the minute, drinks are acceptable at any time, and nobody knows what time it is. And that's how it feels for a lot of people in isolation right now.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if If you're listening live tonight, April 2nd, at 8:21 p.m. GMT minus 5, or maybe it's minus 4, minus 5, to Madame Perry's Salon, and you want to talk to magnificent Sprocket, The Cog is Dead, as well as lots of films and other cool things that we'll be talking about in just a bit, you can call 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9922. Or if you can't call, and, you know, John, you know, we both had jobs in the past where you can listen to stuff, but you can't really make a phone call out, and I have some listeners like that. So, you know, you can always message in your questions to me on Facebook, either through Madame Perry Salon or Jennifer Maudette Perry, and I've even got some questions already being messaged in for you. And I've got somebody else coming here in the beaded curtain. John, I hope you're comfortable here in the genie bottle. And if you are, if you're not, let me know. I'll get you a bigger cushion to sit on. But if you are, would you reach over and part that beaded curtain just a little bit?
Let somebody else in? Oh, absolutely. Sure thing.
Thank you.
Come on in.
Hi. Welcome to Madame Perry Salon. Here we- oh!
Hello, hello.
How's it going, John?
Just one of my
speaking of Tucson.
Something awesome.
You didn't
change
Captain
now,
James Breen.
Yes, yes, indeed. Hey.
I'm sure he recognized my voice by now.
How's it going?
Yeah, I'm still working.
That's good. That's very good.
Construction is considered essential in Tucson, so
mm-hmm.
I'm at least able to work.
That's a
very
good
thing.
Yeah, Amber put herself on a self-quarantine, so, you know, yeah. It is what it is.
Yep. At least since I have, you know, I work out of my home studio, my everyday life is basically self-quarantine. So not much has changed. My wife is home though. She normally works at a store, and they closed the mall, so she's been home for 2 weeks. So she's going crazy because she's got nothing to do.
Oh, I'm sure. Tell her to write some music.
Hey. Oh.
You need to write a coronavirus song. You need to write one to commemorate this whole quarantine thing.
He did.
You know, something about the wife going crazy about not being able to go to work, and all of a sudden the house is more spotless than it's ever been. You know, something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
No. How long have you been married, Sprocket?
7 years.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. Yeah, my husband used to tell people that, yeah, the reason he liked to travel for work and didn't want to retire, when they say, when are you going to retire? He goes, well, my wife's afraid that it's going to be like other people when the husband retires and the little old man falls a little old ready around the house telling her how to do stuff right that she's been doing all these years. No, why don't you do it this way? So now he's like, I'm not doing that yet, am I? No. But, yeah, and I work from home too, so, yeah, it's like this is no different to me. But but yeah, you do. He did write a song. It's called Wash Your Hands. Have you not seen the video?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. It's great. It's great. I'll share it again. I'll repost it, but it's called Wash Your Hands.
You know, John, you should share that with John, you should send that to Necrofessor, Tony Gage. He got a job walking around his town in his plague doctor costume with a sign that says, wash your damn hands. I think he needs to have that playing out of speaker.
Absolutely.
Okay,
I'll send it to you.
And then I kept playing, John, I kept playing The Cog is Dead, Wash Your Hands, and then showed it to my husband. And so I said, you can do something. You can come up with a song. So he took Joe Jackson's Sunday Papers and made it. I got to find some toilet paper. So I should be putting that out soon. But, yeah, so Necro Professor, he's going to have a whole playlist. But yeah, definitely, Cognizant, wash your hands. Everybody, everybody should watch that. It's short. It's to the point. It's just long enough to sing along to while you wash your hands. Right, John?
Yep. It's a 20-second song. So you sing the song and give you just enough time to watch it for the recommended 20 seconds.
So it's been kind of funny over here. I don't know if either of you guys live near any military bases, so I'm wondering. I don't know if it's happened anywhere else, but I live right outside the Air Force base over here in Tucson. And every afternoon, periodically throughout the afternoon, they've been playing songs over the PA, usually things that have to do with, you know, being alone.
Well.
So I'm just wondering if either of you have noticed that. Or if your listeners may have noticed that.
No one has said anything to me. I haven't heard a peep about that from anyone. But then again, we're all, you know, cyber friends, so I don't know. Hey, speaking of, you know, I was going to about, you know, like I said, I don't know if it was you or who, Brain, that said, that posted when we left Wild West. When we left Tucson, we turned our clocks ahead but didn't know we were going into the apocalypse from there. But
I don't remember who that was. I saw that.
But you know it. Yeah. And it's true. Well, one of the – and I was telling him that you were the person that first brought me into this world and seriously changed my life. And I remember, too, when you were telling me about it, you were telling me about all the music and telling me I should listen to Cog Is Dead and all these other bands. And I did. And then – you also said, you kept telling me, you and James Bean kept telling me there was somebody I needed to meet that would be the most fascinating person that everyone loved. And you know what? I think I might have, if I'm not mistaken, Captain Sprocket, could you reach over one more time and open the beaded curtain? Because I see a vision of red-headed gorgeousness and fabulosity coming in.
Sure thing. Hey, how's it going? Come on in.
Oh, hello. Thank you so much, Captain. So lovely to be here.
Hello. Madam Askew, right there in the TV bottle again. It's been a long time.
It has been an age, absolutely. And it's such an honor to share even a brief moment with both you and the dear Captain. And dear Mr. Breen as well, so lovely to be here.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
Happy belated birthday, by the way, darling. I am so sorry I didn't get a chance to say say it yesterday.
It's all, quite all right, you know. It's been a bit busy, what with the world ending and everything.
And yet they still had me painting construction sites. Go figure.
Well, I have opinions.
We got to keep hope alive, I guess.
I guess the zombies are going to need some place to eat.
Madam Askew, we're so delighted to have you come here, join us here in the spaceship. You know, I mean, in the genie bottle, Captain Sprocket parked his airship outside, and of course, you know, there are no germs here in Madame Perry's salon. You know, madam to madam, I'd tell you straight up if it were, but this is the safest place of all.
Well, thank you, dear madam, and I feel quite safe, of course. Captain Sprocket always provides a lovely, safe, charming experience, and I know that you are a woman of impeccable tidiness, so thank you.
Thank you, darling. And, you know, did you hear John Sprocket? John, tell them the news you just told us about the, you know, the live show on the air.
So, yeah, I will be doing a live show on YouTube called Streaming the Steam. And basically it's going to be a chance for me to do some live musical performances and chat with people online and just kind of keep some sort of live music going while I am quarantined to this home studio. So,
but Captain, that's very kind.
Well, thank you. I got to do something also to keep from going crazy. So hopefully, at least this way, I can interact with you all to some degree if I can't be there in person.
Oh, that's lovely.
Are you able? I don't know if you have a headset over there, because, you know, it's kind of dim in here, the little candles. You know, I like to keep it kind of moody. Are you able, if you can reach around James Breen, to pull out your guitar and play the Wash Your Hands song for us?
Sure. I'm not sure how the quality will sound, but I can give it a shot.
Yay!
All right. So, this is a song that is 20 seconds long, which is just long enough to wash your hands for the right amount of time. And it's called Wash Your Hands. Let's see if I can get through this thing. Let's see, how's it open? It's a newer song. Just get some soap and water. That's it. Just get some soap and water now and lather up your hands. 20 seconds ain't that long. It won't delay your plan. Just let that toilet steam and then your hands should now be clean. That's all it takes. Help yourself, family, and your friends. Wash your hands.
Bravo.
That's good advice. Everyone, just wash your hands.
Well,
well, folks,
that's perfect.
Unfortunately, I have to depart. I have many things I have to do. So, but I had to give a call and say hello. But
hello,
yeah, unfortunately, I have other matters to attend to.
We do understand.
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, of course. I am sure I will talk with you all soon. Everybody, stay safe. Please, I want to see all of you guys next March. Okay, so let's all stay safe. I love you all. I miss you all.
Love you. We love you.
Be well, Mr. Breen.
You good.
We will talk to you guys later.
Okay. Thank you, sweetie.
All right. Yep. Bye.
All right. I've got the Wash Your Hands song. Okay, so I've got let me ask you about the beginning. How did the Cog Is Dead start? And how did it start as a steampunk band, or was it, well, with the name, I guess. Yeah, but did you start as something else and then become steampunk?
Yeah, ironically, the name came before I even discovered steampunk. It was a crazy sort of perfect coincidence. I was just starting a band because I had already been doing music on my own and wanted to start a band. And we hadn't decided on a band name, and I randomly opened this book of plays that a friend of mine had and read the first word that I, or the first line that I saw on the page, and the sentence said, "The cog is dead." And I just read that out loud, and he said, "Hey, that should be the name of your band." And I was like, "I don't know, that's kind of weird," but for some reason I kept thinking about it. I'm like, "Well, it's a unique name." And so eventually we stuck with that. But at the time, it wasn't going to be a steampunk band. It was just some, you know, band I was starting up with some friends. And then a while later, I was looking up guitars because I wanted to make some kind of a unique custom guitar. And so I was just Googling unique guitars, and I came across a picture of a steampunk guitar and loved the look of it. It was, you know, like rusted metal with gears and very mechanical looking. And so I showed it to my friend Chris, who was playing bass at the time, and he told me about steampunk when he saw it. He's like, "Oh yeah, that's steampunk. It's this whole Victorian science fiction thing." And so when he showed me that, and I started looking up more steampunk stuff, and then discovered Abney Park and was like, "Oh wow, there's a steampunk band out there. This is a cool direction to go." So from there, we just took the whole band in that steampunk direction. And so just as a sort of perfect coincidence, the name The Cog Is Dead worked for a steampunk band.
Whoa, that was good. Well, so who, what, but before that, since, you know, the Abney part, you know, was your introduction. Before that, because I try to listen, I get so many different styles that influence your music. Who did you like listening to, and who did you want to play and copy their riffs when you were growing up and learning music?
A lot of different artists. I grew up listening to a lot of stuff from the 50s, the 60s, and 70s. I was still am, a huge fan of the Beatles and Queen, Billy Joel. And, of course, I also liked humor. I was a big fan of comedy stuff, so I listened to Weird Al, Ray Stevens, a bunch of, like, comedy artists, and got really into that sort of thing. So early on, before starting The Cog Is Dead, I started writing parodies and comedy songs. And eventually, once we started The Cog Is Dead, that was a chance to sort of do something a little different and a little more serious. And now I feel like I'm kind of doing a mixture of both. Some of the songs are serious and some of them are silly. It's just a mixture of all the different things that, you know, influenced me. And that's also why the theme of The Cog Is Dead, as far as our backstory goes, is that we're time travelers and have traveled around to different decades and have been influenced by the different styles of music that we've heard. Just because I love so many different styles of music and never wanted to be limited to one specific genre. So this was a good way of just being free to write music in whatever style was just fun and exciting to work on. And I'm really thankful that people have kind of accepted that and embraced that, since I guess we have certain sounds, you know, there are the darker songs or the goofier songs here and there that are distinctive of our sound, but we're not trapped into doing just one style, and people don't seem to resist, you know, if we try something a little different just for fun. You don't get a lot of that, well, this doesn't sound like the band, they've changed too much, you know, that kind of attitude.
Well, before I was the least lovely gathering, if I may say, Captain Sprocket, I think we will all follow you to whatever decade you go to, because you are so marvelous. Thank you for being a bastion in this community.
Thank you so much. I just love music.
You're welcome.
That is lovely. And I'm saying, I've got two time travelers here, Madam Askew and John Sprocket. So, yes, it works. Madam Askew, thank you so much for taking time to join us here for a moment. And please, please promise us all, Madam, that you, the Grand Arbiter, all the people you love, and Godzilla, too, will all keep your hands washed and be safe.
Absolutely. We are, Robert and I are holding in isolation, keeping safe. Godzilla is putting everything on fire, so it's perfect. Thank you very much. And thanks for having me briefly. It was lovely.
You always have a place here. You and the Grand Arbiter always have a place here anytime. You are a treasure to our hearts. So thank you so very much.
Thank you, and thank you, Captain, for sharing a few moments with me. That was lovely.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Cheers.
All right. Cheers.
Have a good.
I love her. All right. So, let's see. You've got musical projects that I want to talk to you about, but also acting. I watched a film called Make Hollywood Trump Again. It was funny. My gosh, you're a good actor. And it's like, and also, I thought, and also you, it's done in a way to where nobody should get their feelings hurt either way. It wasn't mean-spirited. It was just like if you were to put any actor, any public figure, or whatever, into a place. It was so good. And I just thought, you know, I need to, sometimes I work, well, now, but sometimes I work on different TV shows and stuff, and I thought, God, the next time I go to Tyler Perry Studios, I want to take this and give it to somebody. They need to see John, Captain Sprocket.
Well, thank you so much. That was a fun video. That was back in 2016, and for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's called Remake Hollywood Great Again, and it's Donald Trump trying to make a bunch of remakes of Hollywood movies all starring him as the main character.
It is so funny. It's so cute. And you are great. And who have, I don't know, everybody involved in this, obviously all pros, because it had nice, tight editing, the camera work, scripts, everything was beautiful. So I thought, Scott, tell me.
Yeah, my friends they have a video production company and a YouTube channel. They're called And You Films, A-N-D-Y-O-U, like me and you. And they have a YouTube channel that produces lots of parody videos. They're the creators of the Diary of a Wimpy Alien series, which has gained a pretty big following. And yeah, they make a lot of these comedy shorts that make fun of movies and TV shows. They're professionals. They've been doing this for a long time. I've known them since 2002, back in high school, and they've produced a few movies. But yeah, they're a wonderfully talented group of people.
Yeah, no kidding. So, were these friends of yours, people you've known a long time, or did they come in and hire you?
Yeah. Back, the founder of And You Films, Brendan Rogers, he was a classmate of mine in high school TV production class, and we teamed up and started working on this independent movie called Flashback, which is this, like, epic sci-fi comedy that takes place at a Hollywood studio 1,000 years in the future. And it was, way too ambitious of a project for two high school students to even attempt, but we were, you know, young and naive and just really wanted to make a big epic movie, and we spent over a decade working on it, but we actually managed to finish it and got international distribution. We sent out hundreds of letters to distribution companies, and one picked it up and took it to the Cannes Film Festival's film market. So we got to go to France and go to the film festival. It was a very fun experience. That movie was just a huge labor of love. And we always credit that as being our film school, because we all learned skills that we still use to this day. They still do video production and movie production. And I still use those same skills for the music videos and things that I work on for the YouTube channel. So it's been cool getting to learn so much and gain so much experience that I still get to use on a regular basis through that whole experience.
Do you see then, I'm sure, that people can tell the difference? They may not know how people become this way or of all the particulars and the backstories, but it always seems people who have a theatrical background or who are trained in, whether it's voiceover, stage work, film work, it tends to lend a professionalism to their live stage performances like yours, not because it comes out over slick, but because you know how to open up to the people and how to read your audience. You feel that?
Safe to say.
Yeah.
I think especially a lot of performers, who have a background in theater. I don't even have nearly as much background in theater as a lot of actor friends that I know, but I've always been interested in theater and acting and musical theater and things like that. So I've always loved the stage and performing. So I guess that, whatever you want to call that, just that sort of natural performer desire is always there whenever doing a show, I've always wanted it to have a bit of theatricality. That's why a lot of times when we do the full show with the band, we have video projections with little sketches that we play in between and try to make it more than just live music, but really a theatrical experience. That's just the whatever you want to call that, the actor, the entertainer in me wanting to make it a bigger experience and something fun and memorable.
Well, yeah, definitely. Back in the late 80s, early 90s, I had a television show, cable, in Atlanta, and I would go out to hear a lot of bands, and, you know, they'd say, oh, come out and see us here, you know, want to be on your show, whatever. But I knew that one day, you know, I wanted to get up, I wanted to sing, I wanted to do, you know, my own thing, but I thought, I do not want to, because I was, you know, still pretty shy then. So I don't want to be one of these people that when they, you know, somebody, you know, a snare bust or a string breaks, that they stand up there and go, well, when they fix the string, we'll do another song. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be able to work a crowd like Toadie Fields or something in between. So I took a course in stand-up comedy. just to get used to being on the stage. So I felt like I would never, you know, be at a loss and leave the audience sitting there like, well, what? Okay, fix it. You know, you wanted to be able to go out and work. And, you know, your audience feels like you are there. You encompass them. Your energy, you bring the talent, you bring the show. But I know watching you live, you know, it's like you're playing the guitar, but your arms are reaching out and grabbing us all in like, come on, let's have a good time. And there were people sitting near me that this very nice couple that I met that night, and we in line and we sat together, and every time you started a song, you know, they reach over. I was listening to that song this morning, you know. I was just playing that album yesterday, Everything of Yours, and they were saying, this is one of my favorite songs. And I thought, this is what it's for. You make people feel and feel good, and they feel like they're part of, you're just taking us up in your own airship. And I'm sure you hear that all the time, not just me, but.
Honestly, it always means a lot whenever I hear that, because, when I record the songs, it's a very isolated process, because it's, you know, you work on them from home and you just put them out there. So at the time of songwriting, you know, you're just writing it kind of for yourself, like, oh, I have this idea and I'm excited about it and I like the way this is turning out. But even now, I still never realize the effects and impact that some of these songs have had on people until I hear about it. And I honestly never would have expected that. So it's always amazing to me and really means a lot when I hear that these songs that were just kind of written, you know, in my bedroom, like the old ones, have gone on to touch people's lives like that. So it's very, very cool to hear that.
Oh, good. So let me see. I got some other questions here for you. We were going to ask you about, so you just had a new album recently come out, and tell us about that.
The new album from The Cog Is Dead is called Songs of the People, and it just came out in October, so it's been out for maybe about 5 months, something like that, and I'm very excited about it because it's a little different from other albums, at least in execution, because every single song on this album was written for a specific fan. So this whole process goes back to 2013 when there was a Kickstarter for a tour, and then when we did our live concert film in 2015, a lot of donors, one of the reward bundles was we would write a song and include their name in it. And there ended up just being so many that we had enough material to make a full album. So I feel like this is a really special album because every single song isn't just it's a work of fiction, but it was written with somebody in mind, even if it's just using their name. And so I feel like there are a little bit more, there's a little bit more of that personal connection, because when writing every single song, it wasn't just like, well, this is just going to be fun. It was, I'm writing this for someone. And so I want them to appreciate it and it to mean something to them. So anyway, I honestly feel like it's probably one of the most solid albums from The Cog Is Dead yet. And I think it's probably because every single song was given that kind of attention and care, because every song was a single. Every song would be released as a single. So each song had to stand out as, you know, it's stand on its own. That's what it is.
Okay. John, if you'll give me, we've got just a few more minutes with you, but if you'll just give me a minute, I need to let you have just about a 2 minute break while I mention a couple of sponsors on the show.
All right.
So you can just relax there for a moment. I want to say, first of all, thanks to my two sponsors. One is a podcast of humor. Now, it's a short podcast. It's not as long as mine. It's somewhere between 9 to 12 minutes. Short bite-sized bits of hilarious Australian humor. It's called He Said, She Heard. He Said, She Heard. And it's like you're eavesdropping on a conversation. People are eavesdropping on a conversation and then getting involved in it. You'll learn about the great bakery heist, a banana Coke, smart underwear. But these people are funny. So I'm going to share, as I've been doing, share He Said, She Heard on all of my social media for you to follow. It is a riot. also my other sponsor for this last 2 weeks is Mosianne Petit Jackson. Mosianne grew up kind of a child alone, raised by nannies. She knew her father. He visited her a lot. They had a wonderful relationship. She loved him dearly. She thought he was a policeman. And then she found out later he's actually Michael Jackson. So she wasn't sure who her mother was, but she lived with her father, Michael Jackson, in California until she was about 9 years old, and he moved her to Haiti to live with an aunt. And this whole book, these books are about what it's like growing up not really knowing for sure who your family was. Some people accepted you, some didn't. And it's called Thriller Betrayal. It is in 7 languages. She was going to be drop in on one of our shows and talk to us. However, Mosianne Petit Jackson lives in the Netherlands, and she works as a caregiver or working with a doctor. And so right now she's busy treating people in the hospital, their overflow, of course, as COVID-19 coronavirus patients. And she just said, I'm just too exhausted for the interview, but please tell people about my book, and please tell people to be careful and to love each other and keep washing your hands. And and she's going to be on here soon talking about Thriller Betrayal. So, Mosianne Petit Jackson, thank you for taking care of people. Thank you for the books. Thank you for sponsoring this week. And we're going to be talking to you soon, live right here. Now, John Sprockett.
Yes, indeed.
Couple of questions. That's me. Just thank you. The members of, if you could just mention too, the members of the COG is dead.
Absolutely. So there is Bradley Harrington III. He plays bass guitar, and Renata Goodwin, who plays drums, and then of course I play guitar and sing. And basically, we're a time traveling trio.
What other instruments do you play? I see a picture of you with an accordion. Is that just for show?
No, I record with the accordion. I'm not a very skilled accordion player, so I don't often use it live. But I use it in the studio quite a bit. And I have a variety of instruments. Most of them are stringed instruments since I play guitar. So I have a ukulele and a banjo and mandolin and things like that. And a keyboard. But that's just because also, since I love so many different styles of music, I like to have a variety of sounds and instruments available so that whatever the song calls for is, you know, available to us.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about what you're doing in quarantine. And while I'm doing this, our friends Callie and Joshua have been so much fun to be here, and like I said, I felt that they were deserving of getting beyond that velvet rope to be in here and hang out with you and hear Captain Sprockett. We look forward to the days when we can all get out and see each other again. You know, James Breen and Madame Askew kind of brought it in about, hey, take care, we all want to be together again next year. And we do. But I've got some questions about, one is from James Springer. You know James, don't you?
I believe
he
so.
He has the Creative Playing Podcast Network, sweetheart of a guy, and his wife is one of Madame Askew's Tea Scouts. She's a magnificent, gorgeous woman. He was asking, as I'm sure everybody else is, he was talking about, wants to know what advice you have. We want to know also what events you were planning to attend in 2021. But also, he asked, what advice do you have for other creatives stuck at home right now? And I know you said, you know, it was okay for me to ask you about how you're handling the quarantine times. And that's why I wanted to know about other instruments you play. Now, my sister-in-law, touring musician, working musician, and she told me yesterday, she says, I'm so tired of being inside. I'm about to take 3 recorders and a garbage bag and make a set of bagpipes out of them. So I don't know. Maybe you're Maybe you're all getting very inventive. And Callie and Joshua, if you have a question too, after he answers this, please go right ahead. But what are you doing with your quarantine time?
Well, I have been cleaning the house. The house is in better shape than it has been in quite some time. And I have been back in the studio working on things. This week in particular, I've been preparing for the streaming show. So I've filmed and edited a whole opening. In fact, I made a theme song for the show, which I recorded yesterday. And so I've been very busy with that, planning for that. I've also been working on some new music. And yeah, basically my goal is to spend as much time as I can being creative and working on things that I previously didn't have time for, because I do have a lot of other work here and there with the voiceover and acting projects, but obviously certain clients are either no longer doing things. For instance, one of my regular clients is he puts on concerts, and obviously there are no concerts right now, so I have no work from him. So yeah, I'm basically just kind of making up some of that time by focusing more on making more music. And what was the first part of that question?
Well, he was asking, you know, about advice you have for people stuck at home. But I think you've pretty well told us, you know, just to use time to be creative.
Yeah, if you're able to get, you know, in a creative mind space while you're sitting at home, just do something. Get busy. Open your hands.
All right. So I also want to say, Callie and Joshua, big fans of yours. I know you've got a question for Captain Sprocket, and I know that you also know that he's got the new album, Cog is Dead. It's called Songs of the People. It's going to be out this fall.
Well, actually,
October
it came out already. It came out last
October.
It is out already.
Yay! So I know they've got all of your albums. And, of course, you got the live streaming show. But Callie and Josh, comment question for Captain Sprocket.
I suppose I'll go first. Captain Sprocket, when does your airship plan to land back at Dragon Con? Maybe after the quarantine stuff. But,
Definitely it would have to be after the quarantine. I think it would be safest to wait until then. But I'm not sure. I would love for us to return to Dragon Con. We don't have anything official or definitive right now, but it's, you know, always a possibility for the future. Dragon Con is such a fun event, and it's an amazing they put on an amazing show. They have such a cool stage, and we've met so many awesome people there. So, yeah, if we get the chance, I would be happy to return to Dragon Con.
And Callie and Joshua, if you go to Dragon Con, you know, I'm right here in Atlanta. Please message me after the show so I can make sure that I can meet you there, too, if you make it to down here to the Big A, the Hot Atlanta.
Of course.
Yeah. Would love to meet you. And so, and Callie, you have a question for John? Or
yes. So, from one professional entertainer to the other, what advice, like encouraging words, do you have for feeling down?
Feeling down in the current situation with quarantine, or just feeling down in general?
Just feeling down in general, like feeling that you're run out of ideas and stuff.
I don't know. It depends on, I guess, a few different factors. I know sometimes if I'm having a point where I really don't have any ideas, I think I was feeling that way around the time of working on the third album, Carnival of Clockwork, because up until then, the songs that I was writing for Cog is Dead were just sort of general steampunk themes. I was trying to keep focused on writing everything steampunk, you know, and I was like going through all the different themes that I was used to, like, okay, I've got to have something with airships or something with robots, and I felt like I was just running out of ideas. And then when working on that album, when we came up with the idea of a carnival theme, it was an opportunity to go and explore some new ideas. So that was sort of a surge of, I guess, inspiration, was writing a few things with carnival themes. But after that, I think even though we're keeping focused on steampunk themes, I'm trying to just be a little bit more open to whatever inspiration strikes. And if it fits as a steampunk-related theme for a song, that's great. But I'm not forcing it. So I'm trying to be a little more open to just whatever ideas come along. The same thing with musical stuff. And also, I've been recording covers of songs here and there, because sometimes if I don't have an idea for a new song, if there's a song that maybe has inspired me, it's fun to revisit it or take it in a new direction and do something different with that.
Yeah, you did Billie Eilish.
Yeah, did a parody of Bad Guy, taking it and turning it into actually being a stereotypical old cartoon bad guy.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Thank you. I don't know if that's helpful or advice necessarily. I'm just thinking of, it's always so hard to, if you like feel like you have new ideas. And I feel like it's something that everybody faces too, just any creative person. And sometimes the best thing to do is just throw yourself into work. There have been times where I had no idea what I was going to do, no idea, but I just sat down and just started playing the guitar, trying to work on a track on, in the studio, and sometimes really cool things have come about by accident.
That sounds great. Hey, all right. Well, thank you so much, Josh. Thanks to James Breen, James Springer, Madam Askew, to everyone who's been messaging me and saying how much they're enjoying this and how much it, and I got to tell you, I'm really proud, because some people say, how did you get him on there? How'd you get John Sprocket? I'm just going to say it's just a Madam secret, that's all. So thank you so much, John Sprocket. I really do. It's just been a pleasure to have you on here, a pleasure to talk with you and to see you live. And I look forward to everything that you create, to your new streaming show on YouTube. And as soon as it's out, I am going to share it on all of my social media everywhere. And I just can't wait. I know it's going to be good, and I want to thank you so much. And
thank you.
And we love you. We love everybody. I am delighted to have you here. We love everybody out in steampunk land and all the listeners. And I'm going to leave you with my motto from my CD. And it is everybody.